This is Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station, part of the Attention Talk Network. Its sister stations include Attention Talk Video, your ADHD talk show station, our subscription-based newsletter, Attention Talk News, your ADHD news source. Each media channel can be accessed at their respective URLs, AttentionTalkRadio.com, AttentionTalkVideo.com, and AttentionTalkNews.com. Keep up with all the media channels on our Facebook page, found at Facebook.com/AttentionTalkRadio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper. Tonight, our topic, the impact of food additives on ADHD. This is a little bit of a kind of a series that we're doing. 2 weeks ago, we did just a thing on basic making sense of nutrition, and in 2 weeks from tonight, on New Year's Day night, dietary interventions for ADHD. Today is Wednesday, March the 18th in the year 2013 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. One real quick announcement. At the end of January, that's January the 31st, Lynn University is hosting their annual transition conference. This is, the title of it is the 2014 Transition Conference. And it's a one-day long event in Boca Raton, Florida, for a conference on helping educate those on learning disabilities and ADHD and to help them move forward. Yours truly will be speaking there along with Dr. Russell Barkley, Rob Tedisco, Dr. Patricia Quinn, Dr. David Now, all frequent flyers on the Attention Talk Radio Network, and several others. For more information on that, go to lynn.edu/transitions. If you're in the area, you got the time, we'd love to see you come and stop by. We got an action-packed show tonight. This was pre-recorded due to some scheduling issues, but we're just going to jump right into it. So without further ado, here we go.
We're here with Jane Hersey, who is the National Director of the nonprofit Feingold Association, which helps families implement the low-additive Feingold diet. A former teacher and Head Start consultant, she's the author of Why Can't My Child Behave? She has testified before the National Institute of Health, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and Congress about the diet and ADHD. She frequently lectures at schools, universities, and hospitals. She reports on studies that show how some schools found their students' behavior and focus improve after additives were eliminated from the school lunch menus, and as well as what parents can do to improve the food their children eat. The Feingold diet was developed by the late Dr. Benjamin Feingold, a pediatrician who is the chief of allergy at the San Francisco Kaiser Permanente Medical Center. The charity conducts in-depth research with food companies and provides information about which foods are free of harmful additives. And with that, Jane, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Jeff. I appreciate being here.
Well, I appreciate you coming on because I think this is a very interesting show, and I think there's a lot of people out there who have questions about ADHD and diet. I know this. I think nutrition is not as simple as we'd like to think it is, but at the same time, there's some basics. And so to start things off, just tell us a little bit about the Feingold Association.
Yes, I'd be glad to. Well, we are primarily parents and professionals. Those of us who are parents have seen changes in our family members. Now, in my family, the first person on the program was my husband, who was in his 30s at the time and having horrific migraine headaches. These were headaches that could last anywhere from 2 to 3 or 4 days. And he was the one who came upon Dr. Feingold's ideas and decided to test them out because he recognized some of the symptoms that Dr. Feingold had found in children, the irritability and just not feeling very well, things like that. And he tried it out, and as he avoided things like food colors, artificial flavors, he began to see a connection between that and the migraine headaches. And then when I was reluctant to do it, it just sounded like it was too much work, and I had a daughter who was driving me crazy. today she would be called ADHD, but when I tried the program for her, the response, her change was very, very dramatic and very fast. And that was a long time ago, and we've never looked back since then. Now, the organization was founded by parents who had similar stories to mine. And what Dr. Feingold had asked us to do was to be a resource for parents, for new parents who wanted to test this out and see whether any of the symptoms their children are showing, or in some cases the adults themselves were having, if any of those were connected to certain food additives. And really, that's what we have been doing for over 30 years now. We try to make it very simple for people to run a test and see whether things they're eating are contributing to the problems.
Now, is the Feingold diet, its focus is food additives. Is that accurate, or is it more comprehensive?
Well, its focus is food additives, but the most of the food additives that we eliminate are made from petroleum, but petroleum is used for other things, for example, fragrances. So although our major focus is on petrochemicals in food, we know that fragrances are also an offender for many of our members. So we recommend that people look for various things like soaps and detergents and fabric softeners that don't have fragrance, and that they avoid scented candles and things like that. Now, maybe some people don't need to bother doing that. However, it's a good idea for anybody to not breathe in petrochemicals. So we do look at some other things, but mostly we focus on certain food additives.
So just to put additives in a context, additives are something that you add to the food. It can be color or it could be flavor. Would I be incorrect by saying there's certain things that you add to food that actually preserve them, like salt might be an additive that's there to preserve. So when we talk about additives, not all additives are bad. There's some things that are actually really, really pretty good. They might prevent spoiling
and
stuff like that. But the area that we're focusing on are additives that are there maybe to do something else and that can create some other problems. And the thing that stood out is you said the word petroleum.
Yes. Right. Well, as you said, there are thousands of additives in food, and many of them are perfectly fine. And there are a lot of artificial things, a lot of synthetic additives that we're not particularly concerned about. Now, Dr. Feingold, because he was trained both as a pediatrician and as an allergist, he knew that a person could be allergic to or sensitive to just about anything. However, if you look at everything that's out there, there are only several groups of additives that appear to be the worst offenders for the most people, and that would include artificial colors made from petroleum, artificial flavors primarily from petroleum, the three preservatives we eliminate also made from petroleum, and then the synthetic sweeteners. So those are the things we really focus on. Now, some of us also get rid of things like high fructose corn syrup and MSG.
Got it. So just a further delineation. So we're talking about we're focusing on these other areas, but there's allergies.
Yes.
And there's food sensitivities, which I'm no expert, but it seems to me like an allergy is like a more severe form of a food sensitivity.
I wouldn't agree totally, Jeff, because it depends upon the person. A person might have a minor allergy or a life-threatening one. They might have a minor reaction to an additive or a very severe one, and in some cases could go into anaphylactic shock. That is a possibility. So it's a very individual thing, which can make it a little complicated. But we try to take complicated and make it simple.
And I that's something I want to kind of get to in a second. But just to delineate this, these additives, and I got a whole issue with petroleum I'll get to in a second, but the additives that are in there, if you have a sensitivity to them, I mean, it can really create a lot of problems. Are there people who consume these additives it doesn't seem to affect? Or is it really kind of affect everybody? It's just a question to a degree, or do we even know the answer to that question?
Well, we used to think, my colleagues and I used to think it only affected some people, but we saw not only in our own families, but in thousands of families that reported back to us, that other family members were also affected, but very often to a much lesser degree. So they go on the program because Johnny is hyper and just flying high, and what we recommend is the whole family eat the good food. Why should anybody in the family eat the other stuff? So we get reports back, well, yes, Johnny is doing great, but his big sister's able to pay attention now, and Dad isn't getting hives, and Mom isn't getting asthmatic attacks. So we gradually realize, you know, humans are not meant to eat petroleum, and when they do, bad things often happen.
Which I need to run to a break real quick. When we come back, I want to just talk about petroleum because I'm sitting here going, we're eating oil, and I don't want to get too far into that. We'll come to it back after the break, but that just fascinates me.
Yeah, it's even worse than you think, Jeff.
Well, everybody, hold right after the break. We're going to get into this, but before we do, if they want to learn about the fine gold diet, the correct website is finegold.org. Is that right?
Well. Yeah, that's a good one, but people have trouble spelling it, so we got a second name. It's ADHDdiet.org.
Oh, that's good.
They can reach us there as well, ADHDdiet.org.
ADHDdiet.org, that's something we can all remember, particularly on this show. So with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Breaking news. Chad introduces the new digital edition of Attention Magazine, starting with the August issue and continuing with each bi-monthly issue. The digital edition is available for easy reading on www.chad.org. Through collaborative leadership, advocacy, research, education, and support, Chad and Attention Magazine work to provide science-based information about ADHD to parents, educators, and professionals who treat the disorder, the media, and the general public. When you advertise in Attention Magazine, your advertisement that includes a website address will automatically have a link to your website. There is no additional fee for your digital edition advertisement. It's free.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function impairment make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Jane Hersey, the National Director of the Nonprofit Fine Gold Association. And we're talking about the fine gold diet. Before the break, we were talking about food additives, and we're not globally speaking about all food additives. We're actually talking about certain additives. And one of those things that you said before the break that just has my head spinning is petroleum.
Yes, absolutely.
We're adding...
And I warned you how bad it's going to get. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Jim.
It's like, I'm going to go downstairs and get a can of STP and start slowing it down.
Well, you wouldn't put granola in your gas tank, so why would you put that in your body?
educate me here on this.
Okay. Well, food dyes are something very interesting. They were developed over 100 years ago, initially made from coal tar oil. There used to be a lot more of them, but most of them have either been abandoned by the companies or not allowed, banned by the Food and Drug Administration. So the ones that are still in food are the few survivors. There are only 7 that are routinely used in food in the United States. And when you look at the numbers like red 3 and red 40 are the only 2 red dyes that are allowed in food, you got a whole lot of missing numbers, and the same with the other numbers. So While there are only a few of them, they are used in greater and greater quantity because they're very cheap and they're very powerful. Now, here's the part that I warned you about. Today, most of them are made in China. They are they come from petroleum refineries in China, and they have always been allowed to have a certain amount of toxic contaminants, and that hasn't improved at all. So the food dyes, first of all, they're made from petroleum. Secondly, they're allowed to have mercury, lead, and arsenic in them. They're not supposed to have too much, but they're allowed to be in there. So there's another couple of good reasons not to eat this stuff. And, you know, nobody has to eat them because there are now beautiful, vibrant, natural colors. There have always been natural colors available, but the synthetic ones are cheaper, so that's why the companies like them. Now, over the past few years, there have been more and more natural colors that are so bright and so beautiful that, frankly, Jeff, I have trouble telling them apart. If you gave me a naturally colored lollipop and an artificial one, it was obvious which was natural and which wasn't. Today, the natural colors are so bright, I have to really look on the package because I can't tell the difference between some of them.
Jane, can I stop you? Before we go forward, you said that, you know, these oil-based colors are cheap. Okay, I can get that. But you also said they're powerful.
Yes.
When you say powerful, can you tell, how are they powerful?
Right. Powerful, that's a good question. Powerful, and here's what you do. You take a glass of water. You take a single drop of food dye, you know, those cute little boxes of four things, and you put one drop in, and you will see how quickly it's going to color the whole glass. Of course, it varies depending upon which color you use. But one drop of that stuff goes a long way. It's very similar to the petroleum-based preservatives that are used. Parts per million will do the job. So a company doesn't have to use much of them.
And so we're talking about color here.
Yes, in this
It's focused on color, so we're not impacting taste a heck of a lot, but this is really about the aesthetics of making something look attractive.
Look better,
right?
Than it really is what they're doing.
So we want it to look like a red lollipop, not pink, red. This is a very cheap and powerful way to make it look really, really red.
Right, but the same candy companies that make candy with synthetic dyes in the United States are currently making candies with natural dye in Europe.
Yep.
So it's not that it can't be done, it's just that it's cheaper to use the synthetic things than it is to use the natural ingredients.
I'm getting now. It's cheap, and you don't have to use a lot of it, so it really goes into the aesthetics. But my next question to you is, wait for it, is if these things are harmful for you,
why doesn't the FDA get rid of them?
Yeah. I mean, duh.
that's a very good question and a very valid question. Well, the FDA, oh, my goodness, where do I begin? Are you talking about the folks at the FDA who have come from industry and then go back to industry and then go back to the FDA? Basically, Jeff, what it boils down to is if you have a conflict between money and science, money always wins.
Uh-huh.
And money, when you have companies that are unbelievably wealthy, they can spend money on all sorts of ways, and sometimes they use it in ways that we wish they wouldn't. So when you're dealing with politics, because remember, each of the heads of these departments, they're always political appointees. When you're dealing with politics and money, the consumer, unfortunately, isn't really an important part of the mix there.
So I think so
written about it.
I think I got the quote that showed up on Facebook: "When money and politics, money wins."
Yeah, absolutely.
I can hear the well. Yeah, there's mercury in it, but it's below the tolerable levels. Is like the
rationalization. Yeah, who decides what the tolerable level is?
Yeah. So interesting. So,
and one more thing, Jeff. These rules are not necessarily followed. benzidine, I believe, is a potent cancer-causing agent, and one of my colleagues has written about research showing that it's only supposed to be allowed in like one part per million, and some researchers found it was hundreds of parts per million. I'd have to go look at the original source. But, you know, these are there's the rules, and then there's the issue of are the rules being followed. And when the rules aren't followed, what are the consequences? Well, usually nothing happens.
Wow. Well, I tell you what, just because we're at a natural stopping point, let's go to break real quick, and we come back. I want to talk to more specific about the Feingold diet and some of you guys, how you guys actually make this as simple as possible for the parents, because it's one thing like, oh, my God, additives, it could be having an impact on my kid. Oh, my God, I ain't petroleum. But the issue is really kind of what you do with it. So,
you know, it's so simple. We have 3-year and 4-year-olds who understand it, and they can teach us.
Well, now you're talking my language. I can talk. I can talk on that level. So, well, again, we're going to go to break. Everybody, for more information on this, go to ADHDdiet.org. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
You can't go off to school with them, but we can. Visit EdgeFoundation.org to learn more. How an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
You deserve the best trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to ADDCA.com and click on Find a Coach.
Do you have something those with ADHD need? Advertise on Attention Talk Radio. We are a narrowcast, internet-based radio show targeting those with or impacted by ADHD. To learn more about advertising opportunities, email attention at attentiontalkradio.com.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back. I'm learning something. Learning something big. This is really good. So now we're going to make it really simple for you, and I'm going to steal a little bit of your thunder, Jane, because I think I got a little cheat sheet here. And this is kind of neat because some of the things that you guys do is you publish, this is what you can do, and this is an alternative to it. And one of the things that just stands out to me, we're going to Kellogg's Special K cereal with blueberries. It's as simple as getting the one with red berries.
That's right. The there are no blueberries in the other cereal, but the red berries are actually dehydrated strawberries that plump up, and they're fine. Is it harder to buy the strawberry one than the blueberry one? I don't think so.
No, you just have to know that it's there, I guess.
Well, like, and that's what we tell you, yeah.
Mellow 7-Up over Mellow Yellow.
Right. Unless you want a lot of petroleum and caffeine thrown in there, which I wouldn't recommend.
Well, here's my favorite. I don't want real vanilla, which is fine. It's when you get the imitation vanilla, you run into the problem. Oh, no, I want the fake stuff.
That's right.
So
Go ahead. No, I was going to say that the fake stuff may be cheaper, but it's still way, way, way overpriced. And then people say, well, real vanilla costs a lot. And I'll say, well, if you're making a batch of cookies, how much do you use? Oh, a teaspoonful. Not really that expensive.
Oh, my God, I saved 2 cents. I stole these thunder, but you guys on the website, it's literally as simple as just kind of knowing some of these things that are out there and just picking one brand over another. Am I oversimplifying?
It is. And we do folks don't have to worry about doing their research or figuring out which brand is okay, because that's what we do. We find out which brands are okay to use. We publish books. We have electronic books now. We have thousands and thousands of acceptable brand name foods. So instead of buying this particular thing, you buy that. And very often, as you pointed out with the Kellogg's, it's the same company making 2 different versions. The same company might make a potato chip with BHT, which is a petroleum-based preservative, and then another one without it. So you buy the one without it. But, Jeff, you know, I would like to just share one of the simplest things of all.
Sure.
Look at the ingredients. Look for the name of a color followed by a number. That tells you it's fake, dyed, synthetic. Don't buy it. If you do that, you're going to improve what you're eating tremendously. Any color, any number. So red 40, yellow 5, blue 1.
Look on the label. You see a color. You look, if there's a number behind it, bad. Mm-hmm. No number behind it, okay.
Yeah, well, or it would probably say natural color or color from grape skin extract or carrots or, you know.
Which is fine, as long as they have a number.
Yeah, color plus number is the key. Here's another thing. When you look at the ingredient label and you see a name, a funny name, maybe polydimethylsiloxane, ask yourself, does the supermarket sell that? Could I put it in my pantry and put it in my food? Again, it's not a perfect rule, but it's a pretty good one. So if the supermarket doesn't sell it, if it's not something you'd pour into the casserole, be very suspicious. You don't know what it is. It's usually not good, though. But it's in there to save money for the company, not for the consumer, but for the company.
The company. So
it's about
money.
In one
sense, I'm thinking out loud here. So if Kellogg's is selling Special K, they're probably charging roughly the same price for the blueberry versus the red berry. They just make more money on the blueberry because it's interesting.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, I'm positive that those two are the same price. And Duncan Hines has a chocolate cake mix with artificial flavor and another chocolate cake mix without artificial flavor. Now, is it harder to fix one than the other?
Is
it harder to buy one,
Oh, here's another one I like. It's Kool-Aid. You can buy Kool-Aid. One cup of juice with two cups of water and then add sugar to taste.
Yeah, and lots of ice. It's delicious. It's food. It's real food.
Yeah, Kool-Aid, I haven't seen Kool-Aid. It's Kool-Aid's still powder, right? I mean, I don't buy Kool-Aid, but are you still having to do something with it anyway? So whether
that's true.
If I can get Kool-Aid off the shelf, you know, and just run and go, you screw the cap. But if you got to stir the stuff in and mess with it anyway, you're not really behind.
Yeah, open up the package and pour the powder in and mix the water and stir it. But for some reason, you're not supposed to use a metal pitcher. Now, I don't know why. I don't know what's going to happen if you try to mix up Kool-Aid in a metal pitcher. They've said that for years. I don't think it explodes, but I don't know why they warned
you. Well, I know, I'm going to get this thing wrong, but I do know, just from watching, like, foods I like to cook, that for whatever reason, sometimes you're supposed to use aluminum when you're using, like, tomato paste and something about the acids and some reactions or something. Like, I'm probably completely wrong on that, but the metaphor is still the same. There's probably something in Kool-Aid with the metal that you don't want to mix
could
it.
Be.
And they don't want to say aluminum because some people don't, so they just say, listen, no metal, and they got you covered for the disclaimer, even though nobody reads it and probably does it anyway. But, you know, because I mean, Lord knows if you read all that stuff, you'd never pay attention to anything else. But so Jane, what I'm learning is that all additives are not bad.
Oh, no.
Some additives are good, but there are certain additives that just don't seem to go with your body. Petroleum would be one of them, which shows up in food colors and dyes and stuff like that. And if you can just make a few simple adjustments, and actually what I'm getting from this is you're just mindful of it, and you can take a half a second and look at it. Because once you're looking at a product and you see that red number five and you find that alternative, then you only have to do that once and always know the alternative and just buy that product again. So this is not difficult to change your behavior. It's just an awareness play.
Right. It isn't difficult. Now, in a way, it's a little more complicated because companies don't always have to put everything on their label. And so that's one of the reasons why we do so much research. So we research these foods with the manufacturer, and only if we are confident that there are no hidden additives as well as obvious ones, only then do we put it in our food list book. So if you're just kind of a casual looking for better food and you're casual about it and you're not dealing with any serious problems, sure, go ahead, read the labels and follow that. However, if you have a family member who's having serious problems, you may need more than just the information you can get off the label. And one other thing I want to be sure to mention, artificial sweeteners, particularly aspartame and sucralose, I would encourage people to stay away from those. They were not around when Dr. Feingold was doing his work, but we've read enough horror stories that we don't use them.
Well, I have to tell you, in the Copper House, years ago, my wife turned me on to this, is that there's no diet anything in our house. We love mayonnaise, and it's all about Coke and Pepsi, although my kids are not allowed to drink Coke and Pepsi. They drink 7-Up because it doesn't have caffeine.
Well, consider Sierra Mist. It doesn't even have corn syrup.
Well, when that's available, We go to Busch Gardens. We're a Sierra Mist family. But the thing that's interesting to me is that for years I've been eating all these things that are not diet, and for a period of time I used to drink Diet Cokes and stuff. And when I drank Diet Coke, it actually made me hungry.
Yeah.
It made me crave food. And when I did the other stuff, certainly a bit sweet, but it didn't. It used to give me headaches and stuff like that. So this is just a personal anecdote. Is we found fine, and you know, as long as you have an active, you know, you get up and do something. Weight hasn't been a problem. I'm sure there's genetics, and be careful. But sometimes I think some of all this diet stuff, to me, is kind of a little bit overrated because we don't really do
well. It is, and your observation has been confirmed by research that these things actually make you crave more food, and people are actually gaining weight. And just look at the obesity problem that has, if I may use a pun, ballooned since diet foods have come out. Isn't that strange? You know, we should be going in the other direction.
Wow.
Yeah, there are a lot of things that when you learn about them, then it all sort of fits together. But most people don't have access to this information. You know, what you hear on TV and to some extent in print media comes from the industry. And they are not the best ones to advise us.
All right, so I'm not a scientist, and I'm convinced that I'm wrong, but this is Attention Talk Radio, and we like to pay attention to attention. And one of the things that marketers do is they pay attention to your emotion. And it seems to me, is you sell Diet Coke to the emotion. It's only got no calories, so look that you're going to lose weight, but we got to do some stuff to get rid of the calories to get it kind of down there. And in so doing, which, by the way, Diet Coke is one of the things that you don't drink, we put some artificial stuff to make it taste good to make you kind of crave it so that, I like this better than Coke. And inadvertently, what you don't realize is that, the rational side is it's less calories, but what you don't see is the craving for more.
Yeah, absolutely.
And all of a sudden, you think that you're going one way, it's going the other. But I love if you noticed all the diet stuff, obesity has ballooned. Again, I don't know science, but it does make you stop and think.
Yeah. Well, there really is research to support all of these things that you intuitively are observing, and it's just that you don't have enormous financially well-off companies behind to promote the other side of the story. You only hear you hear the loudest voice from the companies that are making money off of this. So you don't always get the truth that way, unfortunately.
It's actually funny because, things that are counterintuitive, people don't gravitate to. I was having a conversation, I was coaching somebody who's been on a reality TV show,
mm-hmm.
and they're explaining to me how those things are scripted. I mean, they're not 100%
really?
Scripted, but they're not as reality as you think that they are, which is kind of funny because you look at that stuff and you're like, listen, even they're trying to script reality to certain ways, and it blows your mind. Anyway, I don't want to get to that. Matter of fact, I should do another show on that. But Jane, thank you so much for coming on. This has been a wealth of information, education, and I like what you guys are doing. You're keeping this relatively simple. You know, look on the labels. You see a number, shy away. Go to the website. Get the cheat sheets. You guys are doing the work for everybody, so you might as well take advantage of it. So, again, everybody, it's ADHDdiet.org. And with that, any other comments you'd like to share before we close this out?
Oh, gosh. You know, when humans used to eat real food, they had problems, but not the same problems we're having now. It used to be that the problem with food was that there wasn't enough of it, or there may be some areas of the country where there wasn't enough iodine and people got goiter, or there wasn't enough of niacin, and they would have pellagra and stuff like that. But for the most part, humans did very well eating food. Now what we're eating, much of it isn't food anymore. And it's amazing any of us are even able to function if they're eating that sort of stuff. So we say, have the nutrition from the old days with the convenience of modern times and enjoy the best of both worlds. You might as well.
There we go. Touche. And so everybody out there at the STB part, put your can away and go eat something better. With that, thank you again, Jane, so much for coming on the show. It's been very helpful.
It's been a pleasure, Jeff. Thank you.
Again, everybody, it's ADHDdiet.org. It couldn't be a simpler URL. Go check it out. And with that, Thank you for tuning in. We'll catch you next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio.